This is the Meet Me for Coffee podcast.
Welcome to Meet Me for Coffee, where we dive deep into the world of children's education and entertainment. Today, we have the honor of hosting a true visionary in the field, Dean Kuchar, a driving force behind KidStream, an organization revolutionizing the way children learn and engage with media. So get ready to explore the intersection of psychology, education, technology, as we uncover Dean's insights and exciting initiatives at KidStream. Thank you, Dean, for joining us.
Hey, thanks, George. I really appreciate being on.
Hey, you know what? Once I read the description of you coming on my show and what you're all about and did some research, I was very happy being a parent to a young child. I know how critical it is to fill their minds with the right programming. Obviously, you can't keep them away from technology, but there are some things on YouTube that I really advise, you know, people not to let their kids really watch YouTube. It's just so much content that it could be detrimental to the development. Don't you agree?
I didn't know you were going to bring that up. I totally agree. You know, and some great things have come out of YouTube, but it's user generated content. You don't know what their motives are. If their motives are to get clicks, but it might not be the best thing for your kid, even if it has the appearance to be good. I was in line the other day just to get a ticket, and I was talking to a mother of two, and she told me, she said, I can't remember the name of the show, but she said, my husband and my kids love this show, and I don't like them to watch it because they're mean to me after the show. And I said, yeah, you know, you just don't know. I really believe in the creators in this business. It's amazing television creators, all different shapes and sizes, ages, and yet they really are dedicated to kids, and they do things for the right reasons. And for example, the pace of a show, you know, you can try to do something really quick and cut it really quick, and the kid might be attracted to that almost, you know, in a trance, but that's not good for a child, a young child. They need time to process things. So good creators understand that. And if it comes through a good outlet, whether it's TVO up in Canada, great one, and, you know, PBS or even Disney. And some of these stations, they really have good people that vet the shows, too. So they understand when you're watching a show that's come through one of those people, the BBC, we get some great shows from them. If you can count on them to have vetted that as well. So there is, you're right. You just can't, just because it looks great and it's there. I think it is important to really care. And that's why my little humble streaming channel, KidStream, we really value that more than anything else. We value the quality of the shows that we bring in. So
interesting. You know, if you want to go into some more detail for the listeners and the viewers on KidStream, please do, because it's very good to know about.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to tell everybody. It's called KidStream, K-I-D, stream, one word. And we are available a number of different ways. You can get us from Amazon Prime Video Channel. So you can speak into your remote if you have Comcast or Cox. We have an app on both Google Play and Apple and Roku and from our web. We also have a deal with a company called Curiosity Stream, which is more for adults, which does documentaries and stuff. And you can get us in a bundle with them. But the bottom line is we have no commercials. We only pick good things. Your child will never get into a show where there's any fighting or any mean-spirited humor, things that you might find troublesome content. We stay away from it. We turn down shows that are popular, even if they're like that. But we have really good high-quality stuff. I mean, we work with Aardman Animation for shows like Shaun the Sheep. We work with a lot of Canadian companies. I'd say almost, I was telling George, I think I bet a third or a half of the shows that I have been touched in Canada in some way. A lot of really good studios up there and channels. that do co-production. Kids TV is often produced in co-productions with different countries because there's not as much money in it. So you may have a co-production with France, Canada. I was personally involved in a show that we have called The Book Hungry Bears. And that was a co-production between TVO in Canada, China, and New Zealand, a really top studio in New Zealand. So that's the kind of cooperation you end up having in the kids business. And there's some great people around the world that can really, that really mean well for kids. We also work with Jim Henson out of the States. So we have some of his older stuff and some of his newer stuff. We work with some classic shows. Like we have some of the old ones like Madeline.
I love that.
Thomas the Tank Engine. We have one out of Europe that a lot of people don't know, but it's been pretty popular since we put it on, called Pingu. It's a little penguin that still works really well. But then we have a lot of brand new shows that no one even has over here. Maybe one or two others share it, but sometimes we're the only ones. We're launching a show this month called The Sound Collector, which is an amazing, high-quality show animated by McKinnon and Saunders, who is that really great stop-motion company out of the UK that did everything, including the Academy Award-winning Pinocchio last year. And we have really amazing creators. The show has a character that's deaf, but that sound collector appreciates everything, and it's such a cool show. And the narrator of the show is Keira Knightley. She loved the concept so much she got on board with the creators. So we're the ones launching it in the U.S. We'll be the exclusive launch on the sound collector coming up later this month. And we also have some really cool shows. One called Wildwoods we just launched, which is a Sasquatch, a friendly Sasquatch, and a little sugar glider, which are a costume character puppet. Beautiful show out of Ireland. And we have one out of Canada we just launched called Big Words, Small Stories, produced up in Canada. We brought it to the U.S. Really cool. Every episode they talk about a bigger word. So we'll learn those words in a fun little way. So after the kids watch the series, they start picking up some really good vocabulary. We're also launching a special coming up this month called We're Going on a Bear Hunt, which is a really kind of little mini movie. Beautiful story. Really popular in the UK and in Canada. I think it's pretty popular too. We'll be the first to have it in the US, I think. So yeah, we just have so many fun shows. I could talk about them. Lazy Town is a show I had the privilege of working on. I knew the creator, worked for the creator when he created that. A guy out of Iceland named Magnus Skiving. So we really look at the high quality kids shows, and we really try to bring them in a place where if you come in, and it costs $4.99 a month. So that's what we charge. But again, no commercials. We don't track anybody. We don't have algorithms to push certain shows at your child. They have freedom to go around. And like I said, they'll never get in any trouble. Even if we have a show that we say we're for 2 to 9 years old, and some of our older shows that go from 5 to 9, if a 2-year-old was in front of it, they wouldn't be in a scary situation or something that they would be uncomfortable with. They might be a little bit over their heads. But it's amazing. The kids that are 7 and 8 are so sharp these days. So you really have to, keep them challenged with really good stuff. And that's what we've been able to do. So we're really proud of our slate.
You have a background in psychology, right?
Not really. Yeah. I'll tell you, my background came, I was a business guy, and I had 2 young children of my own, and I saw the power of kids TV. And I happened to, get into the business through a friend of mine that was managing Thomas the Tank Engine back in the early 90s. He started a company, and I joined him in New York City in 1995, and we signed, the first week we were there, we signed a company called Ragdoll Productions with a creator named Ann Wood. Amazing creator. And that was my first experience in kids TV, and I watched her and the quality that she did. And about 2 years, she had some other shows, really great shows. We were helping her. We were the agents. And 2 years after we started working, she came up with the Teletubbies. So, wow. And then we managed that for her. And then she's gone on to do other shows as well. So I think I came from my background came from meeting really good creators, working with them, understanding it. I certainly understand the business side of it, but I wouldn't want to say I'm the one who kind of really knows what's the best for kids. But I do really trust really good creators, and I'm always watching shows. I spend probably, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day going through shows, finding good ones and trying to go after them. So that's kind of the fun part of my job.
Now, what unique challenges do you face in creating educational content for children in today's digital age? Not just you, but.
Yeah, no, really good question. You got to, you know, with a child, I would say that beyond all, you can't fool them. It has to be entertaining. So you may have really good motives. You want to teach them about the environment, or you want to teach them about, you know, healthy lifestyle or different thing within the show. Fortunately, most kids shows do have really good, you know, social messages, or we have a lot with science and math. But you really have to make it entertaining, because you have to, you know, the kids have to want to watch it. And usually the education is in the background of the stories and how the characters are written. So we have a balance of shows. You know, we have shows that are really, we have a show called Bits and Bob, where there's a sister and a little brother, and the curriculum of the show is to teach young kids about the early concepts of engineering. But you see them, they're playing with their toys, they're doing stuff. And at the end of the show, it's about an 11-minute show, there's a little 2-minute add-on where you can do something at home. And this was a beautiful show, really fun for kids. And at the end of the day, they're starting to, at an early age, develop some concepts. So that's probably one of the more educational ones we have. But it's certainly not like going to school. It's really done in a way that attracts kids. We have a really fun one called Gudrun the Viking Princess. This is one I think parents would love. You know, with all the Game of Thrones and everything, Vikings, you know, were big. And I saw this show. It was produced in the UK and Scotland. And it's shot live, okay? And there's a little girl who's a Viking princess, and her father's the king. And he's got looks like a real Viking. But in each episode, you feel like you're in a Viking village. She finds some sort of bit of nature, whether it's a hawk or a fox. And it's all about animals too. So in each episode, you see these Vikings in the Viking time. A really cool. Her father's the king, and she gets in a little bit. There's a little bit of excitement, but nothing too scary. And it's a beautiful show, and I think parents would love to watch it with their kids. We have a lot of shows. I feel like that would be the case.
How do you work with experts in various fields to ensure accuracy and relevance of your educational content?
Well, I don't. At the moment, we're not producing our own content very much. I rely on really good producers and really good creators. And I do check out, you know, if it's a newer show, we're getting involved. And there are a couple that was just starting to get involved in originals. But most of the shows, I'd say right now, everything on our slate, we've acquired, selectively curated it, and went with people that had done all that. And we do definitely look into where. So that's another reason we don't pick stuff off of YouTube necessarily, even though it might be very, very popular, unless we know the background of the person. I'll give you an example of a show we did find on YouTube. We found a guy named Coyote Peterson, who's an animal guy who has really done a great job on YouTube. We did a deal with him, and we went through, I personally went through his entire YouTube catalog, and selected some really good episodes. They're all like animals. He may go meet turtles or lizards, or he's been, you know, everything from wolverines and different things. He's all over the place, and he's really good with kids. And we curated a bunch of his episodes and made our own series called Coyote Peterson Kids Dream Collection, which he does a little intro for us on each episode. So we have our, so I did find that on YouTube. He's a really well-known guy with animals and kids. He actually has a couple of his TV series on Animal Planet, the channel, but we did this from YouTube material. So we're not against YouTube. It's certainly a great platform, but like you said, you have to be really careful. Never mind what they can bounce into when they're on there, but you just don't know when you see something, whether where it's coming from, what's the background of the creator, all those questions you asked. Because it's user generated, so you can put anything up you want, really.
Yeah, I just find, like, being a parent, I'm always kind of looking over my son's shoulder, and there's some really weird videos that, and you're right, there's some behavioral traits, and I've done some research on it too, right? There are some shows or things on YouTube that it really triggers children because they don't know how to process it, and especially if they're tired.
You're right.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a frustrating time to be a parent. Obviously, knowing how things used to be growing up, we didn't have all that stuff. And now it's sometimes a peace of mind to have them watch something and kind of give us a bit of a break. But at the same time, you feel bad because they could start watching something weird like Roblox or I'm not a fan of that stuff.
Yes, user generated. So you don't necessarily know who that the person is creating and what their motives are. Yeah,
exactly. Background
is. Yeah. I agree with you. We try to make Kids Dream a place where you young parents of young ones can really take a break. I mean, feel really good. We sometimes call it a walled garden where you can just, the kid can be in there. And, you know, we love parents in the background, and we feel like I personally don't like shows that are annoying that I feel like a parent would find annoying. Even if it, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes there's shows that just find, we like to have shows that we assume the parents in the background, and it would be something they would approve of or certainly get when they see what's going on in there. And we have a whole diverse look. We have different genres. We have puppets. We have model animation. Different kinds of animation, live action. We have shows from all over the world too, so kids can really get exposed to a lot of different things. We're not just one type of show. Some of the really good kids channels, you probably know, they try to get everything to fit in the same model. You know, if you try to sell one of the big channels a show, they'll say, "Well, does it sit next to this one? Is it the same?" And you're like, "Well, not really." Okay, then you know we needed to. Not us. We have a whole diverse thing. The only commonality is it has to be really high quality and really safe. And like I said, you know, no mean-spirited humor, no troublesome content. We stay away from scary things, even though they're very popular now. We do think that the foremost has to be entertaining, because we understand that kids have to want to, because they have a lot of choices. It's, you know, you can't really fool them.
Yeah, it's quite a passion you have there. You know, there's got to be some heroes in this industry, someone to moderate something for us, because being a parent, and I'm sure you're a parent as well, it's very hard to ensure they're getting the right things and watching the right things and getting the right feedback for, like, learning the right information. Obviously, sometimes they learn something they shouldn't. It's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's not, right? And I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. This has been great.
George, I really appreciate you giving me a chance to tell everybody about Kids Dream. It's fun. Like I said, I probably missed telling you about half of the show. So we have so many. Check it out if you want. You can even just scroll through on our website, kidstream.tv, and see some of the new shows. Like I said, I'm bringing about three or four this month, new ones coming on too.
So. Interesting. And that Pingu really struck my interest because I used to watch that when I was a kid up on TVO.
You know what? So the producers over in the UK convinced me to take that one. And I didn't really know it growing up, but it has done really well for us. People love it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is called Meet Me for Coffee. I know you like espresso.
I'm doing my Nespresso. I've got a crema liqueur capsule today. I thought I could only do a small one at night, but I'm a big coffee guy. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Same here. I had the Nespresso machine. I had, Keurig machine and French press. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, is and she was right.
A lot of equipment. Yeah.
I just went to the regular coffee machine for now, and we'll see what the future brings.
It's probably just as good. Yeah. This little Nespresso machine I've been carrying around for years. It's the old school one. It's the little one.
They got compact now. So that really helps for those of us actually going out to buy one now. But if you're dragging one around like you're
this one. I'm saying this one must be 10 years old. I don't know. Probably just when they came out, I have carrying this around, but
it's still good.
All right, George. Well, I really appreciate it. Like I said, thank you for having me on. I appreciate your audience. And I like listening to some of your podcasts. I want to hear a couple more.
Thank you.